Your feet and turn in your Bibles with me, if you would, to the book of 1 John. The book of 1 John in your Bibles. The book of 1 John is one of those texts that is small but powerful in its content. 1 John chapter 4. And I want to read the first several verses there for us. Turn, it's all the way towards the back of your Bible. Amen. 1 John chapter number 4, in the name of Jesus our Christ. Amen. Say amen. You locate the text, right? It's about the fourth book from the rear. So look at Revelation and count back two more books. Amen. Amen. You're going to hit Jude, you're going to hit 3 John, and you're going to hit 2 John. And then 1 John. 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse number 1. The Bible reads, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." This is the word of the Lord. Let the church say amen. I would that you pray with me, beloved, on the title of today's sermon. My God is greater. My God is greater. Let's pray together. Father, I pray now your divine blessings upon this word, that it may not return void, but that it may accomplish that which you intended for it to accomplish. May hearts be encouraged, may minds be illuminated, and ultimately, O God, may souls be convicted, I pray today. Have your way in this place, and we shall be careful to render all glory, all praise, all honor unto your name. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. We thank the Lord today for all that he has done and all that he has given unto the people of God. The Lord is worthy to be praised. Ushers, you may take your seat as well. Last week, I preached a sermon out of Psalm 139 that spoke to us about God's preordained knowledge of his people. As I heard Deacon Adams pray today about being foreknown by God and justified by God, and ultimately will be glorified in the presence of God one day when we get to heaven, that there is a sense of how do we keep journeying forward as people of faith. I shared with you last week that God doesn't make any mistakes, because the Bible says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image. It doesn't say the image, but fearfully and wonderfully made by God who knew you in your mother's womb. Amen. If you think about the beauty of that, that even before we came into existence, God foreknew that we would be here. Now, the challenge is the notion that we get into around issues of abortion and all of those things. Well, if God knew that we would be here, but certainly you're not saying that all those children who never saw the light of day, somehow that they were not supposed to be here. Or even children who are dying from famine and war and Ebola in West Africa, right? Are we to conclude that somehow God did not want those children to be here? Certainly, we can't know the mind of God, and I would never ever insinuate that God preordained death for somebody's child. But what I do know is that God is a God of life. and that God sent his son that we may have life and have it more abundantly. Come on, somebody. And some of us need to get out of the mindset of just going through the motions as if this is just a terrible wheel of life. We're going round and round. No, God has purpose more for your life than many of us are living. Amen, somebody. Just like we use only 10% of our brain, I believe that many of us are not fulfilling even a quarter of the purpose that God has put inside of us because of all of the attacks that come from without, and some even come from within. And so it is my desire, as we think about some of these powerful motivational scriptures, I said to you, there are scriptures that I want to implant and emblazon in the minds of my children, Daniel and Amaris, and all of our children, so that as they are growing, they understand who they are and whose they are. And so I want my children, or our children, Melanie said, they didn't get here by you, brother. Let me remind you. Amen. She said, I'm just saying. No, that's what she says down front. I'm just saying. You didn't get cut twice. I'm just saying. Our children, your children, right? I want them to know Psalm 139. That they would say to themselves, fearfully, I am fearfully and wonderfully made by God. God foreknew me. So I'm not an accident. I'm here on purpose. I'm here with a purpose. I want them to know what Romans says when Paul says that we are more than conquerors, that we can overcome the things that come against us. I want them to understand Philippians 4:13, that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I want them to understand the great testimony against fear, for God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of love and power and of a sound mind. They need to repeat these statements over and over and over, because our children will be attacked from enemies from without who want them to even begin to internalize these negative messages of identity and possibility. And so for every I can't that is told to our children, I want them to say, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. My God has told me I can. For every enemy that comes against them, I want them to say, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. For God tells me I am more than a conqueror. For every negative image that comes to say that you are nobody and you are nothing and look at where you've come from, I want them to be able to say, that's not what my God tells me. I am fearfully, I am wonderfully made by God. God knew me in my mama's womb. Aren't those the messages we want our children to internalize, so that any negativity that comes their way, when someone tells, I want you to be afraid of me, some bully or some test that comes along to say you're not good taking standardized tests. So our children internalize a fear of taking a standardized test. But if they don't take a standardized test, many colleges won't accept them. And so we need to tell them that God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of love and power and of a sound mind. For whatever reason, for some reason, some foolish reason, no matter where I came from, South Central LA, drug addicted mama, broken family, somebody put inside of me the wherewithal to know that I am a child of God and that I am not here by accident and that God did not bring me this far to leave me now, and I'm not going to let anybody tell me no. I can do it. I will do it. And I'm going to let God get the glory. I would not have been in places that I've been if I had listened to all the messages that told me I can't, Brother Rudy. There are folk who told me I wouldn't be able to even go to college, but I have to tell myself I can. There are folk who told me don't even apply, bother applying to the Ivy Leagues and to Stanford. And I said, I'm going to let them tell me no. I'm not going to let you tell me no. My own college advisor told me, why are you applying to Stanford? Go to a state school. Go to Cal State Los Angeles. And if you're good, you might be able to go to UCLA. I said, well, I don't know who you are, but I know who my God is. I'm going to apply to this school and Stanford accepted and Yale accepted and then UCLA accepted and Harvard didn't accept. I said, that's all right. They don't know what they missed out on. The messages that are told to our children and the messages that we tell our own children. Because some of us can be some of our children's biggest impediments and biggest roadblocks. Come on, somebody. That's why we should always build up a child. You never know what God is going to do with that child. If somebody had told Moses, your mama gave you up, sent you down a river, he would have thought I was an abandoned child. But God turned that thing around and said, I'm going to make you the deliverer of Israel. The images and the messages that we tell our children can be detrimental to their health. But we need to build them up and say, greater, your God is greater than any demonic foe that comes against you. Your God is greater than any enemy that comes telling you you can't. Your God is greater than any bully on the schoolyard. Your God is greater than any negative spirit that tells you you are less than somebody. Your God is greater. And I need just a few saints today to believe that if I tell my child, and if I even tell myself that my God is greater, maybe some of us will be able to withstand the issues that are on your job. My God is greater. Some of us would overcome cancer. My God is greater. My God is greater. And so 1 John gives us another one of these quintessential positive, motivational messages that isn't just motivation, it's scripture. How many know the difference between philosophy and theology? Philosophy is what you think. Theology is what God says. And so I'm not interested in hearing what you think. I'm interested in knowing what does God say. And the only way I can know what God says is by embedding myself in the Word of God to understand that when I read these messages in Scripture, I am to internalize them. I am to plant them in my mind, in my spirit, so that when the attacks of the enemy come my way, I am able to not only withstand, but I'm able to overcome. Not only am I able to overcome, but I'm able to rise above. Not only am I able to rise above, but I'm able to lift my hands. Not only am I able to lift my hands, I'm able to open up my mouth. Not only am I able to open up my mouth, I'm able to jump up and down. Not only am I able to jump up and down, but I'm able to say, look at what God has done. I'm not everything you want me to be, but I need you to know I've come a mighty long ways. Look back over my life. Look at what the devil tried to do. Look at what they said about me. Look at what that my mama said about me. Look at what my daddy said about me. But look at where I am right now. The Lord is mighty and worthy to be praised. John gives us one of these messages. He says in verses 1, 2, 3, and 4, little children, test every spirit, whether it is of God or not of God. When I was a little 12-year-old boy, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. I was a member of the Holy Light Missionary Baptist Church. Many of my members, I'm so glad, have come to see the church that formed me and shaped me to be the person I am today. And I remember when I read the scripture early on in my walk with Christ, I was young. I was 12 and 13, and I took stuff literal, y'all. I was a literalist. I was a Bible-thumping fundamentalist at the age of 13. If the Bible said it, I believed it. And when it said, test every spirit, and I said, okay, how am I supposed to test them? You're supposed to test them by saying, look at what verse number 1, 2, 3, and 4 says. It says, any spirit that is of God, right, would do this, and spirits that are not of God would do this or not say this. And so it says in verse 2, by this you know that the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus has come in the flesh is not of God. So I used to go around saying, do you believe Jesus Christ came in the flesh? Do you believe Jesus Christ came in the flesh? I'd be on the buses sometimes. You believe Jesus Christ came in the flesh? And if somebody said, who in the world? I said, you're not of God. I'm sorry. I took this thing literally. Because I believe that literalism aside, there's going to be some spirits that come up against you. And how many of you know that you are in a spiritual fight? Sometimes the devil deludes you into thinking this is a physical thing. But you need to be reminded this is a spiritual thing. In order to fight a spiritual fight, you've got to have some spiritual weaponry. In order to have some spiritual weaponry, you need to hit your head in the Bible. Because the Bible says that when Jesus was tempted by the spirit of darkness, he said, it is written. He didn't say, this is what I think. He didn't say, this is what mama told me. He said, this is what I read for myself. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The Bible says when Jesus was tempted, that Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. And you and I need to be able to say, when the spirit of negativity comes your way, and the spirit of pessimism comes your way, and the spirit of low standards come your way, and the spirit that you can't do it comes your way, and the spirit of demonism comes your way, and the spirit of I know you won't be able to comes your way, you need to be able to say, get thee behind me, for I am a child of God. Get thee behind me, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Get thee behind me. Verse number 4 gives you the statement that you need to teach your children and teach yourself. Greater is the God that is in you than he that is in the world. Some of y'all should have been shouting right there. Because when the devil comes up against me, he's got all guns blazing. He's got all the demons surrounding me. I need to be able to tell myself, I know what it looks like. I know how many of them are around me. I know they got a little bit of power, but God's got all power. Greater is my God that is inside of me. Greater is my God that is able to do everything but fail. Greater is my God that has already delivered me. Greater is my God that has already opened up a door for me. Greater is my God that has already put a hedge of protection around me. Greater is my God that has already made a way for me. Greater is my God that has already built a bridge over troubled waters. Greater is my God than all of the demons that are around me. Greater. I need somebody to say greater. Greater. Greater is my God that is able. That is able. John, the great apostle of Jesus Christ. This isn't John the Baptist. This is John the Revelator. This is John that was the beloved one of Jesus. This is John who Jesus on the cross said, son, behold your mother, and mother, behold your son. This is John who said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was, this is John, y'all, who on the Mount of Transfiguration, watched Jesus get ready for his sacrifice. This is John, y'all, that was with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. This is John. So if anybody knows about Jesus, John knows something about Jesus. And if John says greater is the God that is in me, than the demons that are out in the world, then that's something you ought to take literal off the pages of scripture. Because how many of you know you still got some demons coming up against you? How many of y'all up in here today know that there's some spirits that are going to come against you? How many of y'all know there's some folk on your job that's going to come against you? How many of you know there's some folk in your family that's going to come up against you? And how many of you know there's some folk up in the church that are going to come up against you? But when you run into a roadblock, I want you to remember 1 John chapter 4, verse number 4. Greater, and say it to yourself, greater is my God that is in me than he who is in the world. John gives us a statement because the Christians of his day were being persecuted. The Christian community was being separated. And he writes to the believers and says to them, little children, don't believe every spirit. Some folk may come smiling, but they got something behind their back for you. But you can't live your life in fear. Because the other scripture says he's not giving me a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. So you need to go throughout your life with a holy boldness, saying, hit me with your best shot, devil. Because God's got something bigger than what you have. God is greater than what you bring to the table. My God is greater. Many of us will go through our life fearful of people and circumstances. And for whatever reason, God has given me a holy boldness to say, I don't care what they say. Because if I believed everybody, I wouldn't have half the things I have now. I wouldn't be half the places I've been. If I believed and listened to everybody, I've got to listen to that quiet, still voice that is down inside of my bosom that said, Armstrong, I was with you in your mama's womb. Armstrong, I was with you when you were in foster care. Armstrong, I was with you when you were on the busing program. Armstrong, I was with you when you cried yourself at Stanford because of what they said about you. And I've been with you every day of your life. You have empirical evidence, young man, that I've done it before. And if I've done it before, I can do it again. Same God right now as he was back then. And so the messages that have gotten me to where I am are the messages that I need to continue to stand on. John ends this little pericope in chapter number 4, verse number 4, and saying, you are of God, little children, and you've overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world hears them. But we are of God. He who knows God heals us. He who is not of God does not. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. In other words, the spirit that is in me resonates with the spirit that is in you. And sometimes when the spirit that is in some folk don't resonate with the God in you, you need to leave those spirits alone. Come on, somebody. Stop hanging around spirits that are not resonating with the Holy Spirit. But when you find just one other spirit that is resonating with the Holy Spirit, then that's the spirit you want to hang around with. Because you want to hang around with somebody else who believes that the same thing you believe in, birds of a feather flock together. I want to hang around with somebody.
somebody who knows about Jesus. I want to hang around with somebody who can encourage me. I want to hang around with somebody that can build me up, not tear me down. I want to hang around with somebody who can help me, not hinder me. I want to hang around with a prayer warrior. I want to hang around with a praiser. I want to hang around with a proclaimer. I want to hang around with a warrior. I want to hang around an overcomer. I want to hang around people who are standing on the promises of Almighty God. Because the spirit of truth in you resonates with the spirit of truth that is in me. Some of them other spirits, y'all better leave alone and let God deal with some of those spirits that are not resonating with the spirit of truth. John gives us a statement that is eternal, eternally helpful for not only literally little children, but also for us big children as well. How many of you know that if you told yourself, if you did one 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 every morning, some of the things that you're overcome by right now would not overcome you. Because as a man or woman thinks in their heart, so is that person. Beloved, stand on the promises of God and believe that the Lord God inside of you is greater. He is greater than anything that's coming up against you right now. Somebody put your hands together and give God a praise offering in this place. Everybody standing to their feet. Deacons and deaconesses and clergy are going to help me extend this invitation. Don't know who this message was for, but I believe it was for somebody. And I want to say to you, start testing the spirits around you. Start testing them. And you don't want to judge people, but you want to resonate with the spirit of God and not a spirit less than God. But in order for you to be able to discern, you've got to be connected to the Lord yourself. And so someone here today needs to make that decision to give their life to the Lord Jesus and allow the Holy Spirit to inculcate in you a spirit of understanding. Go ahead and sing, men. As the men sing, these invitations are extended. Number one, if you don't have a church home, I invite you to come. Give us your hand and give God your heart. Look at God today. Somebody give the Lord a praise offering today, my brother.
I'm free, praise the Lord, I'm free.
Calm is down, there may be somebody else.
No more longer bound, no more chains holding.
There may be someone else here today.
My soul is resting.
Anybody else here today?
And it's just another blessing.
The Lord talking to someone here today.
Praise the Lord.
I want you to let go and let God today.
Hallelujah.
Step out of your seat. Give us your hand and give God your heart today.
Got to say it one more
Someone
time.
Else here.
I'm free.
Someone else
Praise
here.
The Lord.
Someone else
I'm
here today.
Free.
In the name of Jesus.
I've been saved and sanctified.
Maybe you're
Filled
on the edge of your seat.
With the holy
trying to make a decision. I want you to
I'm
let go
resting.
And let God have it. Give it to the
it's
Lord.
It's another blessing.
Trust me, He'll do it for you. Anyone here?
Free.
Go ahead, lift up your voices, gentlemen.
I am free. Praise the Lord.
If you're looking for special prayer, step in the aisle. One of these men or women will pray for you. In the name of Jesus. My soul
And it is such a blessing.
It's such a blessing.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I'm free.
Anybody else? Anybody else here today? Anybody else?